And so what the genius of the 12 steps in part is this, and this is the stated purpose of the 12 steps by Bill W., their author, as well as it shows up in the 12th step. It is that a human being would have a spiritual awakening. Mm. The steps are designed to facilitate a spiritual awakening of sufficient force that it expels the need and desire for an external solution to internal problems, and it replaces it with an experience of God of a magnitude that leads to freedom from these counterfeits that we repeatedly turn to have the life that we think we want.
Say a little bit more about that spiritual awakening. I know with Bill W., he didn't talk a lot about it, but when he was moving towards sobriety, he's in the hospital. He's had the visit with Ebbie T., where Ebbie says, "I don't drink because I met with God." And he cries out, "God, if you're out there, show yourself. I will do anything." And then the room is flooded with life, light, and he has this quite intense experience. How do you think about that? Does the average person need that? Do we want to have that? If they pursue the 12 steps, will they have that? What does that notion of spiritual awakening look like?
Yeah, I mean, some people have very sudden, they're blessed with very sudden seismic kinds of spiritual experiences that begin their spiritual journey of healing and intimacy with God. Great. The vast majority of people have what William James and Bill W. referred to as spiritual awakenings of the educational variety, meaning that they're incremental.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know many people who come into 12-step programs of recovery and they're like, "I don't even believe in God." Right. And so like, and then very slowly over time, as they're working the steps and working with a sponsor or, you know, who a mentor, they discover that God sort of incrementally sneaks up on them and they define themselves in relationship there. So, you know, if you're expecting, you know, in the fix, I think I say something like, you know, if you're expecting, you know, Cool and the Gang's song Celebration to kick off when you know do step three, you're wrong. The chances are it's going to be over time. And I like to think, man, spiritual awakenings, I hope I have serial spiritual awakenings.
Yeah.
You know, new and greater clarity and depth of relationship with God. And there are just moments where they're more accelerated and more profound than others, but I think they're happening all the time.
I think a lot of people who do the kind of stuff that you and I do, work at churches or work as pastors or so, when they go to an AA meeting for the first time, will have this question, how come church can't be more like that? I think a lot of people will experience that. A lot of people have written about that or said that in sermons. And so, because there just seems to be a kind of a rawness and a openness and non-pretense, and you can be yourself here and get into it. You must have thought about that a fair amount. Why do you think it is that the church isn't or seems not to be able often to be more like an AA meeting?
Man, great question. You know, there's a story in the fix I tell about a guy named Gene, not his real name, but he was a pastor of a, you know, kind of evangelical, conservative, larger church, but he also had a secret drinking problem. Well, he shows up to church one Sunday and he's sozzled. Right. And he's in the pulpit. He's slurring his way through the sermon. Elders figure out what's wrong. They take him out and they did the thing you would hope they wouldn't do. They fired him instead of getting him help and just saying, "Oh, here's one of those things humans do." Right. Like they fired him. Right. So a couple of months later, we're in the basement at a meeting. And he says to me, he goes, "Ian, can you?" It's amazing to me. He said, "I've experienced more grace, kindness, forgiveness, welcome and transformation in the basement of a church more than I ever did upstairs." And he said, "How I wish they all had a program like this one that would help them find an intimacy with God that they just didn't even know existed." Right now, the church can learn a lot from those meetings, and we've talked about this before. I think one of the things that's so beautiful about, you know, meetings of addicts when they get together is, you know, we've all been humbled. We've all been reduced. We've all had the gift of desperation that brought us there. in many ways, for many people upstairs in churches, you know, God is more of a preference than a desperate need. Mm. Downstairs in the rooms of recovery, if there's no God, we're going to die. So it's actually not a preference. It's a desperate need. To the degree that you are in touch with that desperate need, I think it actually becomes something of a tremendous gift. When it's just a preference, you know, you can go, you know, you can muddle along with just enough spirituality to get you by.
Yeah,
I can't afford to do that, and I'm hoping some people who don't necessarily identify as severe addicts would have a similar experience of that.